Well, I think I finally got this thing working. And it's legit. Because it's the news, according to me. Well, we're live here this morning, and it's the 300th episode. The 300th episode of the news, according to me. Playing a little more music just to celebrate here this morning. And I don't have a cup. I had a video, and I don't know what happened to it. I had this video of a bumper. A bumper is a little thing that you play, typically to, you know, if you have to go to the bathroom or something. That's what you do with a bumper. A bumper plays, and you're able to like do something else real quick, whatever it might be. It's a 1 minute long bumper thing. That's actually a little bit longer than a minute. And it's, I don't know what happened to it. I can't find it. I was going to play it this morning. It's this whole thing of, it's the feel good hit of 2022 or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. Maybe I might have it in audio, which is, you know, for those of you listening and don't have this video visual experience going on this morning, which is dynamic. If you're wearing 3D lenses, you can see my fingers poking at your face. I don't know where it is. Maybe that's it right there. Let's see if this is it. This could be it. It's the feel-good hit of 2021. The podcast
this is the bumper.
That brings you so much more.
It's the bumper.
More of this and more of that. Just more, more, more.
More!
And it's better than ever.
Ever.
Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe, because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions. Like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or, what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content, other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means.
I'm here.
Be sure to like and subscribe, because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news according to me. So that gives you an idea of what a bumper is. However, there was a video that was supposed to go along with it, and I don't know what happened to the video part. It's been around for like a year, because I remember doing it like a year ago, because that's why it says the feel-good hit of... It's a feel-good podcast, or whatever it was there at the beginning. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, that's the bumper. What I had to do during the bumper was to go get my cup this morning. It has my name on it. I don't know if you can see that or not. There, it's kind of there. Yeah, the lighting in here is not that great. This is a high, I guess it's a high budget program we have going on here. It cost me a lot of money. That's where the budget went. We don't have a lot of income, but there's a lot of money going out. So, not a lot, really. Not, you know, it's all relative. I have a lot of relatives. I hear a rumble. Because we're on Rumble. Get it? It's rumbling. I think what I need to do is close the studio door. I am here at the national headquarters of the news, according to me. This is where we have all of the, this is where I do most of my big work, my important work. Like this morning, I had a little job that I had to do it's the one that pays the bills. The other thing else I do is kind of, it's like side work. And it's good stuff, too. It's all good. But the real income comes from my wife. She gets paid ridiculous sums of money to do what she does. And because she does ridiculously important work. We have a lot going on in today. The cup, especially the cup. This is an Elo cup, by the way. An Elo. I don't know. Hello, cup. I say hello to it every morning. Hello, cup. I have it's got a little lid thing on here. It's kind of nice. I just have tea with honey, and I don't have any, actually I didn't put any coconut oil in here this morning. I just,
I just forgot. I have honey in there, though, so that's good. And, of course, sugar. Got to have that in there. Got tons of sugar. It's a sugar-based economy here at the News According to Me. So I have all this stuff going on. It just, Joe did a presser yesterday. Good old Joe did a presser yesterday. And surprisingly enough, after resting up for a couple days and preparing and getting his biometrics all, you know, tweaked up. Now, I'm wondering if you guys can actually see me at all. Can you guys even see me right now? How about now? Can you see me now? You know, I have the feeling that the first part of this show didn't even have any video on it because of a little thing here in the studio called Preview and Program. Yeah. So for those of you listening on audio, I'm sure you could hear it. And I'm pretty sure it was going across the stream on audio as well. But I don't believe that the I don't think there was any video playing. So I apologize for that. This is my Elo cup. I was showing you earlier. I don't think you could see it. This is the Elo cup. Hello, cup. So this is what's in my cup. I got tea in my cup. I don't know what's going on live. Why I can't. Rumble is a little bit clunky. Let me just be frank about it. I'm paying money for it, which is why I don't care about critiquing them personally. Now, I apologize. I got my glasses on this morning because I've got new contacts coming in, and I didn't want to wear my contacts and have to change contacts. I want to be able to take my glasses over there so I can get my different contacts. And now, of course, the lighting in here is such that you can't see my eyes when it's like glaring off my face. So there you go. That's what you get. You're getting what you pay for here with this place. If you're watching the show, you're definitely getting what you paid for today. That's for sure. Because actually, you're probably not getting as much as you paid for. If your time is worth anything at all, you're not getting your money's worth here. This particular show, but that's a whole other story. We have Joe gave this presser yesterday, and there's also some news about the COVID mess that's going on and things that are happening there. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Jojo, as I call him, turn the button on before you drink your. This is a complicated cup. I'm not sure if I should be qualified to operate this thing. Jojo, he had a presser yesterday, and of course, during his presser, he was all juiced up and ready to go, and they had him all, you know, tweaked up until about the last half hour. He looked like he was just getting worn out, like he didn't care anymore. And then he kind of got snippy with a particular news commentator who used to work on Fox, and I guess he left Fox. I guess he works now for Newsmax, maybe? There's a couple of really good news organizations right now, in my opinion. One of them is One America News. One America News, OEN, I think it's called. One America News. They have a broadcast, and I think that they're very closely related to the Epic Times, the Epic News. Epic Times. I believe that they're kind of sister organizations, I believe, or brother organizations, brother, sister, twins. I don't know what they are. I'm not sure what their gender is. But they have a close relationship, I believe. And my understanding is that Netflix now has chosen not to take them on. Or DirecTV, maybe it's DirecTV. DirecTV has chosen not to renew their contract, you know, because they have a tendency to tell the truth, and they can't have that. They're not following, they're not towing the line of the narratives that the leftist parties want them. This whole thing, if you can't see what is going on here, when you have censorship, people on YouTube that are saying things, they're afraid to say things a certain way. They will say things like the injection. They won't say the vaccine. They can't use the terms, these words that trigger things on the automated system of censorship. that has YouTube and Google going nuts. When you type a search word in, or search phrase or term into Google, and you get a canned response back, folks, this is not normal stuff. This is fascism, okay? This is not freedom. When Joe came out, everybody keeps talking about, well, Joe said he was going to be the party of uniting. He's going to unite the parties, and he's going to unite the country. He's going to be a uniter, not a divider, and all this stuff. No, you don't understand. The leftists' idea of unity is not what we think of. It's not a common vision that we all get behind and everyone that you can define what America and who America is and what we are in this nation and what we were founded on. And the thing that rings true in the heart of every individual, believe it or not, I still believe every individual has a heart cry for liberty, for freedom. That doesn't mean freedom to get stuff. That means freedom for fairness. Freedom for an opportunity, for a chance to make something of themselves. Not to have everything handed to them. I don't think, there are some people who want handouts. Don't get me wrong. There are always those lazy bums among us that want something for nothing. Don't get me wrong. And they never feel like they have enough. They don't want to contribute in a positive. They just want to get something because they exist. That's just the way they think about it. That's their opinion. They don't want to produce. They don't want to try to be, you know, create anything at all in terms of any kind of wealth of their or value or worth. They just want to take from society that owes them something. Because they had a struggle. They struggled in life, and it's somebody else's fault. Well, there's plenty of struggle out there, and everybody, you know, human beings are going to, they're going to let you down, and they're going to cause problems because people are selfish. And everybody around you, including your mother, is still selfish. You know, the most unselfish person towards you, probably, in most cases, and I'm generalizing here, your mother was probably the least selfish person in your life when it came to taking care of you. Probably. That's not the case for everyone. There are some very not so great mothers out there. Or fathers, for that matter, who have not been providers. And in those cases, there are still those who have risen above those circumstances and become something in spite of that. And that's the beauty of this country, is that you have that opportunity, you have that ability, that fairness, that everyone can. Now, there's all this crazy junk out there that, well, you know, if you give this guy a head start or this opportunity, and you don't give this guy this opportunity, then that means that, you know, that's not fair. That's not fairness. That's fine. Okay, so you want that kind of fairness. And this is where I made a mistake the other day of saying something about the civil rights movement, and I didn't say it on this program. I was actually talking to a friend of mine, and I was saying something about the civil rights movement, and I actually meant affirmative action. I really don't agree too much with affirmative action. In my opinion, it's and there's people on the left and right. There are scholars and people who understand constitutional law and what affirmative action does and how it's really not constitutional. It really isn't. It's based on this idea of special rights, group rights, and it's really, it kind of goes against and spits in the face of where the Constitution was taking us with regard to individual liberty. And I think that I think everybody still has this heart cry inside of them for liberty, for individual freedom and expression. Within the bounds of being able to not step on someone else's freedoms and liberties. Now, you don't have the right to tell me the name I should call you or the gender you should be. I don't think you should be able to arrest me or degrade me or cause my job to go into jeopardy because I don't care to call you by the name you want to be called. That's what freedom is. It's that when you start to imply that someone else has to abide by what you think about something, that's fascism. Like it or not, sadly. Now, will I do that out of courtesy? Yes, but it's my freedom to do so. Forcing me to do it is not freedom. And yet that's where we are in this country. When I saw hordes of people marching down the street and then busting into restaurants that had open air because of COVID, they were breaking into these restaurants and they were demanding that people made a statement. Say it. They wouldn't leave them alone. If you wouldn't say it, you're a racist. Say the statement. Do you understand who you are in that moment when you demand that someone else bow the knee to say, to make a statement? And if they don't agree with you, if they don't make the statement, you're labeling them, sending them off to the internment camps for reprogramming and all whatever else they do. Do you realize the place that you're putting yourself? Just because Nazis were white Germans doesn't mean that other people can't be Nazis. Where did that, just because Hitler was a bad dude, so was Corn Pop. Corn Pop was a bad dude, too. I think they were related. Corn Pop and Hitler, I think they were, might have been the same guy. I don't know, who knows. So we have this mentality that we're going to have unity. But see, the leftists don't see unity as being something from a common vision and people voluntarily complying to. It is unity through compliance, forced or compelled, or you're welcome, everybody's welcome to just comply, and if you don't, well, we're going to get all those who are willing to comply, then we're going to start squeezing you into compliance. Well, maybe you're not going to get to keep your job if you don't comply, but you don't have to comply. You can leave your job. That's your choice. It's your choice. It's a private company, after all. They can do whatever they want. And the company chose to comply because, we told them we're going to fine them if they didn't comply. So you got to comply. And then it gets worse. Then if you don't comply, now you're not going to get to go to any restaurants or grocery stores or the theater or the gym. All the things that basically people do in city life. I can't do any of that stuff. Other than that, but you can sit in your home and you can be free to not do whatever it is we're telling you. Well, now, because you've got kids going to school or because you got people going outside your home, then just because you're in your home, you're still affecting everybody around you. So now the apartment complex where you live, where you rent your home, where you rent your apartment, we're going to require their tenants to comply. Yeah, if your tenants don't comply, then you have to boot them out. And we keep doing this. Because you see, it's unity through compliance. And you narrow down this group of people. So now you've gone from, maybe 70% of the people didn't agree with compulsory compliance. But some of them did it just to get along, go along to get along. Well, I'll just do it. It's not that big a deal. So they comply. They go along with it, but they don't really agree with it. They're just doing it because it's not a big deal. They just want to get this thing over with. Now they get these people who don't comply that they're trying to blame things on. If you don't comply, you're the problem. And they think that all these people who have complied, this is where they overstep their, I think they overstep their mentality a little bit. They think that all these people who've complied still agree. Because they've complied, they're now on their side. And that's not the case, necessarily. They're finding this out in France right now. Right now in France, Macron came out and said something about, well, first he came out and said that, you know, there's like 5 or 6, 7 million people or something that have not been vaccinated. I'm sorry, they haven't complied with what the government wants them to do. So they're kind of sitting on this situation where, you know, they narrow it down to where they think that, well, it's just a small group of people here who are not complying. They're causing all the problems. But you've got to comply. And then he comes on this other show and talks about how this whole vaccine passport thing, the compliance passport, I should say. If you catch my drift, I think most of you are getting where I'm picking up what I'm putting down here. The compliance passport, if you haven't joined in with that program, he wants to tick you off. He didn't use that term. That's the term I'm going to use. And he wants to tick off the people who haven't been vaccinated, haven't been compliant. So these non-compliant individuals now are taking to the streets. Now you have to remember, they kind of want this. They kind of want they like disrest to some degree. They like to see chaos. They can use whatever happens. If everybody goes along, I guess everybody went along with it. If there's chaos, they can use that to vilify people and create a narrative and a spin. Because as long as you've got the media on your side, as long as you've got control of what they say, of the spin, of the narrative, you can pretty much just keep going, peeing on someone's leg and telling them it's raining. You can keep doing that. And for those who are standing there in the middle of it, it just seems like they're all alone, they're all isolated, and everybody's, well, I guess I'm the wrong one. And the sheeple will go along with it. Those who are truly aware of what's happening here have a little different opinion of this, and they kind of see where this is going. Where's this going to be in 10 years? Where have we come from since 1970? In the last 50 years. And where will we be 50 years from now? Where is this progressing? What is it progressing to? Are we seeing liberty expanding and increasing individual rights? No, we are not. You can say, well, no, we've done all this stuff to create more rights. No, they have not. They have siphoned people off into small groups. If you belong to a group that has special rights, maybe you've got more rights. You actually don't have more rights as an individual. You have more rights as a group. They will narrow down those groups as well. And you can mark my words on that. They're already doing that. And it will continue to be done like that. Now you have the compliant and the non-compliant. And these things will continue to happen this way. And if you think it's just going to go back to, okay, we got all that behind us now, and now we can go back to life on the prairie, little house on the prairie. Now that's where we're going to go back to, with all of our freedoms and liberties. If you think that, you are out of your mind. You have completely lost touch with reality and what's happening around us. Build Back Better was not something that Joe Biden came up with. This is an international globalist phrase. Just about everybody, all the world leaders that are part of the EU, the in crowd, the people who want to be one of the ones that are in the in crowd, the oligarchy, they're all saying it. They're all saying it. It's not a Joe phrase. It's not something that his administration came up with. Now you can say tinfoil hat, whatever. Now there's not going to be And here's the other thing. This whole divide and conquer thing, and dividing people up into groups, you have to understand, economically even the banking system basically wants to divide the world up into about five different sectors. Because it's easier to control sectors of people than it is to try to get everybody on the same page. So you kind of divide them up into people groups, and you get those groups to comply within those groups. You have smaller groups, but then you get all those groups to kind of comply within the smaller groups, because you can, once you divide people into smaller fractions or smaller sections of groups, it's easier to control those people, because you can sway and push and move those people around by turning the majority against them. And that's why democracy, pure democracy, is a very scary thing. Because 51%, and this is what they're trying to do in the Senate with the filibuster. And God bless Sinema and Manchin for not allowing that to happen last night. The voting bill that they are touting as a racist, if you're against it, you're a racist. They want to federalize elections. They want to have federal control over the states to control their elections. This has never happened in this country, ever. States have their own elections. Each state has its own election. This is centralized power grab. And we've had it, I would say, you know, it started really in the Clinton era. Carter even did some of this, but it really started in the Clinton era. The foundation was being laid for this, and it really unfolded during the Obama administration. He used all of his political clout. If you came against any of his policies, you were a racist. If you said anything about his policies, all of a sudden you were a racist. This is when this started to happen. This is when it started to bloom. The bud began to open. And when it really took hold was when Trump won and their heads exploded. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here in 2022 with the midterms. I'm expecting that we will see a landslide election the other direction, and the House and the Senate are going to be taken over by the Republicans. I'm not a big fan of the Republicans, by the way. That's not something that necessarily is, how do I say, I don't have a lot of confidence in the establishment on either side of the aisle, but I definitely see that the Republican Party, of course, has a little bit more aligned with what I would like to see happen in the country. However, I think that they use that to play on it just to get into power so they can spend money on their projects. Get the power and control that they want. Now, Joe actually performed much better than expected yesterday during his presser. However, he said some things that, of course, were, and he got very bitter with one particular individual when he's talking about his. The issues in the country. And Joe, this is the best example, I think, that we have of the left, the politicians on the left, telling us things that just are not so. Joe made it sound like he's accomplished more in his first year than any other president ever in the history of the nation. If what has happened to our nation in the last year is what he was trying to accomplish, or if it just was by default, it was what he accomplished. Yeah, there's never been a situation in 1 year where we've seen this much inflation in 1 year, this much border crossing in 1 year, this much of a disaster with regard to a pandemic, handling of a pandemic. Now, keep in mind, Joe said, if anyone who's been in charge and has seen more than 220,000 deaths on their watch, they shouldn't be the president. Joe, you've surpassed that. according, of course, now they've tried to change the numbers. Well, now we have to readjust the numbers. Well, all these people weren't, maybe necessarily all these people weren't, they didn't die from COVID this year. They died from something else. They just happened to have COVID. Oh, now that's why we're going to change the metric now. That's the metric we're going to go with. We're not going to have a counter down below on your little newscast. We're not going to have a counter over there in the corner all night long telling us constantly, telling us what the death toll is. Like, they just got the numbers coming in. The numbers are coming in, and we're just racking them up. People are calling in the numbers. Where do those numbers come from that they keep putting in there? It's a counter. Okay, it's just a timer. That's all it is. They're going by averages. They're not out there counting bodies. And now we have Omicronicron that has come in. And finally, guess what? Now that Fauci is, they're starting to kind of put Fauci back behind the scenes now, behind the curtain. Let's put him get back behind the curtain again now, because too much information is coming out about Fauci that we're finding out now. And I think that Fauci had a lot of political clout at the beginning. I think people were willing to give the guy a chance and willing to trust the guy. Even skeptics were like, okay, we'll listen to this guy. What's he saying? And then he started changing his tune on some things. And then he started saying, well, I lied because I was trying to do this. Well, I'm not lying now. I was lying then. I'm not lying now. And then he's saying one thing about this. No, this didn't happen. And then, of course, some senators happened to find some information about the guy. Some emails and some other communications. They're like, you're not telling us the truth here. And then they dug a little deeper. And the more they dig and the more we find out, the more this guy, we find out, is an absolute crook. He should be in prison. And we should not be listening to him. He should not have his job. He should not have any retirement. They should be asking for their money back from this guy. We, the people, should be asking for our money, because our money has been paying him. He's one of the highest, I think, if not the highest paid bureaucrat in all of Washington. Gets paid more than the president. And yet his handling of this whole thing has been atrocious. There are people out there who do much better jobs of giving us information. Dr. John Campbell is one of them, in my opinion. He doesn't really share his opinion a whole lot. He does occasionally, and I don't always agree with him, which is fine. But the data, he gets square on the nose. He is excellent at handling the data and showing what's happening. You can draw your own conclusions from that data all you want to, and whether or not the data is accurate or not. But he is excellent at putting that together and showing you what's going on and giving you his opinion of what he thinks in terms of what the data is saying. And he's excellent. But that's, in my opinion, he should be getting paid what Fauci's getting paid, and Fauci should go home, which should be the state prison, federal prison, whatever it should be. That should be his home. Just my opinion. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not a financial advisor, I'm not a counselor or a life coach. I'm just a guy with this microphone right here that you can see. I think you can see it right now on Rumble if you're watching on live. It's just me with my hat on because it's cold outside. It's not cold in the office here, I have to say, and I do have some hot tea to drink, which is a plus as well, but it's comfy in here. Now, having said all that, Omicronicron is turning out to be, the CDC has now come out and finally admitted, finally put it in writing, that natural immunity, because this is something Fauci was actually going against, and he has emails early on talking to another doctor, a couple other doctors, talking to them about how they were going to downplay natural immunity right off the bat. They didn't want that to be a part of the equation. They wanted people to get the vaccine, period. That natural immunity was not going to be as effective. It doesn't last long. Now they're finding out natural immunity is much more effective than they ever believed it would be. In fact, now they are finally saying natural immunity is more effective than the vaccine. Now, will they come up with a better vaccine? I don't know. I hope so. I hope. You know, when we all heard the word vaccine, and I've said this many times, we're still playing on this idea that the vaccine was going to inoculate us against this thing, that you weren't going to get it if you got the vaccine. And once in a great while, if you got a breakthrough case, it's really rare, these breakthrough cases just might happen. Now we're finding out, especially with Omicron, that it doesn't matter if you've been vaccinated. In fact, there was one main study. There was actually more than one study. I think there was like three or four studies that I know of, one that I trust, that said if you had the vaccine, if you had the first shot and the second shot, so you're fully vaccinated, and then you had the booster, which is considered fully vaccinated in some places, you were actually three times more likely to get Omicron than someone who had not been vaccinated. That's why it spread like wildfire through the world of vaccinated individuals who were flying on airplanes. That's what was going on there, folks. Now, say what you will. The studies and the numbers have come in, and basically they're now all agreeing that if you, whether you've been vaccinated or not, whether you have had COVID of any kind, any type or strain, and recovered or not, Omicron is highly contagious, and just about anybody can get it, even if you've had COVID before. Omicron has almost taken over in terms of numbers. When you look at the chart and you see Delta and Omicron. That's what I am. Omicron. The numbers go this way. And you can, I'm trying to do this on, it's, they go this way. Delta is dropping off as the common strain, and Omicron is the strain now that's taken over. Omicron. The thing that's happening now is that's becoming the strain. Well, now we're finding out that regardless of whether or not you've been vaccinated, regardless of whether or not you've had COVID before or not, the symptoms are way more mild than Delta was, in the tune, to the tune of 97% more mild, milder, more, less severe, maybe is a better way to say it. And yet, they're still trying to use the numbers of cases as a fear tactic to get people vaccinated, to get people to comply. Omicron's coming for you. You better get vaccinated. You better get boosted. Israel just did a recent study. They were already triple vaxxed out there. I think 90% of the population was, they had you know, three shots. They were going with the fourth shot, and they were doing studies as they did it. Realized that the level of resistance from Omicron is not beneficial at all. It's not helping at all. It's very minute. It's less than 2% of effectiveness in terms of increase of effectiveness. It's less than a mask. Which again is this whole thing of, gotta wear that mask. We've been wearing masks. Well, how bad would it have been if we hadn't been wearing masks? How bad would have it been if we hadn't had the vaccine? We don't know that. Maybe more would have died for Delta, through Delta, if we wouldn't have had the vaccine. That's probably the case. We don't know. It's one of those things where you don't know what would have happened during that time. Would have it been over with sooner because we would have had a mutation sooner, and we would have had Omicron. Quicker. Omicron. Omicron crown. Whatever it would have. If we would have had that sooner, would have. I personally believe this thing is going to be. Now, here's the deal. This is what gets me about this whole thing. I think that Omicron is the end of the pandemic. And they're already talking about an endemic situation where we're just going to have, who knows, six, seven shots a week. I don't know. Whatever they say. A shot every day. We've got to take a shot every day. Not that it's going to help you. It's just going to take one because you're not going to get the cold. It is becoming a cold now. A bad cold. Or a mild fever, I would say. I would call it a mild fever. A really bad cold. And I'm not talking about Delta. Delta is still a bad thing. If you got Delta, it's not good. But the thing is, this thing is going to drop off. And since we're in an election year, here's how it's going to go. This is how it's going to play out. You're going to see restrictions start to lift. Oh, you're still going to have to be vaccinated. Don't get me wrong. Things are going to ease up. They're going to talk about caseload to keep the fear factor going and keep the vaccinations going. This is not going to last much longer. However, they're going to claim victory. The left is going to say, see, we conquered COVID. We got him. We got COVID. We conquered it. Because of all of you who complied. Those of you who didn't should go to the internment camps now. A new poll says that 49% of Democrats believe that those who are not vaccinated should be put in internment camps. They should be detained. They're in favor of that. 50% of them almost, 49%. When you stop and think about that, the highest group, if you want to talk about a per capita group of individuals, if we want to go that route, the black population is actually the lowest vaccinated population in the country. So there you go, folks. Who's the racist now? And this whole idea of, if you happen to listen to Matt Walsh, I would encourage all of you to listen to Matt Walsh. You don't always have to agree with the guy. I pretty much agree with a lot of what he says. The guy's brilliant, first of all. He is. I don't always agree with everything he says. But his ability to think on his toes, it amazes me in terms of how well he thinks through a particular issue or a political football that happens to be getting tossed around at the moment. He can just cut right through the whole thing with sometimes the most articulate message without having to say big words, which is good. That helps me out a lot because he just kind of says it in a common language. But he's incredibly just forthright with everything he says and spot on typically with the foundation of what he bases his opinions on. It is just, it's an impressive thing. And I would encourage you to watch. Yesterday he was on with a show talking about the whole thing of he had a good show yesterday. He hit on a lot of topics, and I would encourage you to listen to him if you get a chance. Black Conservative Patriot also is BCP. He's another one that's really, really good. And you got Brandon Tatum. I don't listen to Brandon Tatum as much as I did for a while. I really like him. His style sometimes isn't what I like to listen to. There's a guy named actually Anthony Brian Logan is really good. I like him. If you like ABL, he's really good. He kind of has more of a long talk show. He has a lot of call-in people. I like the call-in thing. I'd like to start doing a call. Call-in is very difficult when you're by yourself because you can't screen the calls. The calls just come in and there you are. You're going to get what you got. If you have a call screener, it's a little bit easier because you don't get the, there's sometimes there's some wacky people out there, folks. I don't know if you know about it. And once they get a hold of your number, they call, you know, and then they cause problems. I don't have that yet. I do have the capability to do it with my little machine here, but I don't have the manpower to do it on a regular basis, so I'm not going to start doing that. ABL does a really good job of that. I'm not sure if he has, I'm assuming he has people helping him. He's probably got somebody on the side there that's kind of helping as an engineer a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe he's got the whole thing down. I'm not a full-time guy at this, which that makes a little bit of a difference. I'm just a part-timer. I'll call myself a part-timer, I guess. I only think part of the time. So, in the process of doing all this stuff and everything that we have going on, I guess, since the show here has gone, well, how long have we gone on? For almost, well, I guess it's been long enough. That's how long it's gone on. This is a 300th episode. For those of you who've been following me for the last year and listening, and I know that there are people out there who've been actually listening for, like, to most of the episodes for almost a whole year now, 300 of them, in fact. And I appreciate that greatly. I do appreciate people who've been following along and listening and sharing and subscribing and writing comments in places where you can write comments and reposting and sending in money. Those of you who've been sending lots of money in, I really appreciate it. I especially appreciate all of you. And there's a special prize for you, the people who've been sending in money. Since nobody has sent in any money, I don't have to worry about those prizes. So that's not a big deal. But I'm going to try to expand the platform in the next year. I think the one side job that I have right now, I know it's going to last for about another 3 or 4 months at least. I may be going into, by the end of the year, I'm probably going to be looking at leaving that position. At least at this point, that's what I'm looking at. And probably going to get more and more involved in what I'm doing here. I've got another podcast I wanted to start in January. It's just not time yet to do that. I'm hoping to get it all set up and ready to go by the end of January, possibly the first part of February. And that podcast, it relates to a book that I'm writing about the conspiracy of things that are going on in the world. It's more of a conspiracy theory channel type thing. And it talks about the realities, and we kind of examine some of the conspiracies that are out there and just kind of opens up all the ideas of what, you know, what is going on out there. What are people thinking about conspiracies? Not necessarily, I have a tendency to be a conspiracy theory debunker. We can talk about 9/11. We can talk about all those things, but it's you know, the Kennedy assassination, all those things. And there's all these small mystery stories as well that I kind of want to get into. So it's not really necessarily all about conspiracy, but it's kind of about mystery type stuff. Things that have happened in the country, in the nation, in the world that are worth talking about. And so I'm going to get into some of those stories, but I also want to talk about the current events and what things that are happening and what I see as what I call the evidence of things unseen, things that are going on behind the scenes that we can see happening, manifesting, but we don't know who's in charge of all those things. And that's what the book is kind of about. And also, I'm doing another book. It's totally unrelated to anything about this channel or anything about it other than my voice. I am a voiceover artist, and I actually do voiceover stuff. So I do that. I'm not the TV movie guy. Even though I have done some, check out LA's Finest, Danielle Gabriel, only on Spectrum and only on demand. I've done some of those kinds of things, but I mostly do just explainer videos, and I do a lot of kind of have that not quite micro Tim Taylor kind of voice kind of thing going on. So I can kind of do some of that kind of, I don't have their talent by any means, but I do have at least the voice that kind of relates to that a little bit. And so I can kind of do a little bit of those kinds of things. But most of what I do, believe it or not, I do a lot of medical explainer videos. I do a lot of insurance company stuff. I have done a couple of those commercials where you talk about a particular medication and you go on and on about, you know, all the side effects. I've done a couple of those. Some of those kinds of things. Got about 400 clients right now, and I've made it, built it up into a pretty decent business that I'm now going to try to share and coach others on how to do. Can you be a voiceover artist? Yes, you can. Can you be successful as a voiceover artist? That's probably a bigger question that needs to be answered. And that my first, I'm doing some online classes. I'm going to do a online course, two of them actually. One of them is free. It's kind of to help you determine whether or not you should be involved in it, whether or not you should invest in anything to move forward in voiceover. And then I'm going to do another one that's more of a training course that's actually not going to be free. And that's going to be more of a coaching, individual kind of crafted type thing where you're going to be learning more about the trade and actually developing your talents and skills in the areas where you have weakness. It's not just about reading and not just about speaking. It's more, that's about half of what you do. The other half of it is providing a service to your client, which means you're able to actually edit files and do things and get them, you know, and be able to communicate with them. A lot of times they'll call in and have me, they'll direct me over the phone in terms of what they want me, how they want me to say it, how fast, how, you know, different pronunciations of words, emphasis on certain words, that kind, those kinds of things. So I'll be recording while they're in my ear talking to me, tell me what to do. So there's that part of it, but just the basics of providing the service and, you know, doing all the billing and the technical sides of things, how to hook up a microphone, how to get your system hooked up with a computer, how to do things online over the internet and those kinds of things. So some of that is what I do with the main class to get you launched into your career. And then there's personal coaching after that. So there's the kind of the ongoing mentorship, you might say, of helping somebody with that part of the business. Just because you have a decent voice. I've had some folks that I've known that have really incredible voices. They even have the technical skills to be able to do some things. But they don't have the tenacity or the patience, the understanding of, you know, when I say something, especially when I read a script, I have about, I can hear it in my head, even as I'm saying it, I can hear it in my head about 20 different ways that I could be saying that particular phrase. And in the process of that, I don't always, that's where the struggle comes in. So if the director wants something that's faster, slower, higher energy, they want a lot more energy in that, whatever it is. I have to know how to attain what they're looking for. We want it to sparkle more. We want it to be a little shinier right there in that phrase. Okay, well, I don't know what that means. I can assume what they mean by certain things. Now, you can tell, like right now, you can probably tell I'm smiling while I'm talking. I'm not happy about nothing, but I'm smiling, and you can probably tell I'm smiling. Right now, I'm not smiling, and you can probably tell I'm not smiling. It sounds much more serious, even though all I'm doing is just putting a smile on my face. So little things like that make a difference. The posture of your body, you can stand up and sound differently than you do when you sit down. So I have a desk that actually rises up and sits down. Like I can raise it up and stand up and do things, which helps to add to the energy if I need to do that. So just all those little things, if you're interested in voiceover, this is really a really wild side note here, folks, but that's the kind of thing. Now, my other podcast is actually going to be sponsoring this podcast for a while. So there will be an advertisement when the other podcast comes out. You will hear you'll see a bumper and you'll see all the advertisement for the other podcast, all about the conspiracy theory, mystery theater type stuff. So when I'm ready to launch that, you will know. There you go. So that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about today was Jojo. You know, our buddy Joe and the COVID thing, because I'm looking at a really interesting year ahead of us here. And the next month or two should be even more interesting. I believe I'm going to be taking a vacation in April, and you're not going to hear from me at all for about 2 weeks. I will be floating around on the water somewhere warm in April. So in the meantime, during that time, I'm going to be setting up for things happening at that point. And I might actually do a few shows that are pre-programmed, so to speak, during that time. So that there's still some shows out there, but that's going to require some pre-planning. So pray for me. And we'll pray for each other. We'll pray for the nation. And we'll continue on, pressing on, because I still believe in this country. God bless everybody. Have a great day.